T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you guys. Hump Day edition of the show. I'll tell you what, Lonzo, recovering from pneumonia, diagnosed 12 days ago, and I feel like, man, with the temperature changes, it's kind of impossible to get fully well. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, I don't know what it is, man, but when it goes, like the other day, somebody sent me this thing and it was hilarious. And it was like, man, the weather here is like Powerball numbers. It's like 65, then 19, then 70, then 34, then 56, then 22. It's just like playing the Powerball, man. But when you're trying to get over something and the temperature does that, man, you feel sinusy each and every day. So hello, my name is Sinusy. And by the way, Mark Ryan is not here today. He has been replaced by the European version, Mark Ryan. That is MarkRhein.
Where's the German accent? I want to hear your German accent.
Wie geht's?
There we go.
Abe se che de e f g h t I h t k l a m a n a o p k u r s t u f a v x y z.
It took me a second.
Set down, sir.
It took me a second to realize what you were doing because I was worried you might be cursing in German, and then I realized you were doing the alphabet. So,
hey, by the way, it's funny. I'm walking around today. I'm not hearing any more complaints about the mustache. You know, have you seen what 24 hours has done for me, Lonzo? Are you looking?
I still see. I mean, maybe you can't get rid of the shadow.
Oh,
maybe it's impossible.
Good God. I even went out and got a straight razor and straight razored the whole thing.
You know, this reminds me of when Cameron was wrestling, there was a kid who had to shave in between matches because the hair would grow back on his face so quickly in a tournament. And that's what this is reminding me of.
I straight razored this just for you last night, okay? I look like a pedophile. I look like a guy that belongs nowhere near a school campus, all right? And, you know, like I just went down to sales and Kristen McCrory says to me, good God, get away from me with that thing. And I'm like, I'm looking around. What is she talking? She's talking about my face. And it's because of you. You have done this to me.
You did this to yourself by not beating me. And maybe you shouldn't have had your face right next to, you know, bent down. So when she turned around, she saw you.
It's a rough thing.
You're fine, but I realized something that you snuck by me. And
what's that?
Well, you are trying to do a 4-day week on me, and not the full 5 days.
No, we did it on Monday.
Did we?
It on Monday. Yeah.
Did we? Well, I wasn't here, so that doesn't count.
I know. Yeah, but it's not incumbent upon you to be here. Okay, like it's been large and in charge, Lonzo. What's been going on? I am doing it this week.
I don't have
okay
pictures from Monday, so I don't know that it actually happened. Monday.
Here's the deal. You said yesterday I was half-assing it. I believe those were your literal words. You're half-assing it.
No, I said half booty. What I meant.
And I went home and I shaved this for you. So that I wouldn't have to hear 6 months of I didn't really pay off the bet. All right? So rest assured, we are now on the hump day of me having to wear this godforsaken thing on my face. All right? And those of you that want to see what this looks like, Mark Ryan playing the role of pedophile. It is available for you.
Could you come up with something else? That just doesn't sound right.
That's what everybody's calling me around here.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, for on-air purposes, it makes you look worse than what you do. You don't look like that. You don't.
What do I look like, Lonzo?
You don't. You look like that you're cosplaying as Tom Selleck. I mean, that's much better. It sounds cleaner.
I mean, I'm John Candy playing as Tom Selleck is what I look like.
No, you don't weigh anywhere near what John Candy weighs.
All right. If you want to see this horrendous attempt at facial art, you can visit our Facebook page, ESPN Upstate on Facebook. Lonzo has been gracious enough to plaster it all over Twitter, so that my haters will now have a picture they can post of me until the end of time. It is there for you as well. We are absolutely jam packed on the show today. Coming up at 3:20. As it pertains to the Baseball Hall of Fame, what would get you fired immediately? Some very intriguing Super Bowl storylines are developing. Primetime is less than pleased with something going on in Colombia. And there's a really interesting article out by a friend of mine for Forbes about how the compensation for college football players could have a real effect on Title IX. That and so much more. Josh Pate set to join the show at 5:40 this afternoon to help us put a bow on the college football season. And away we go with the show. Well, I'll tell you, I'm not particularly interested in, and I know college basketball here, we asked people to give us kind of the 1 through 10, the most popular sports here in our area. And college basketball came in number 3, right? So college basketball is popular here. The other places that I've worked, not so much. You could talk about the tournament in March for 2 or 3 weeks, but you would be getting crickets if you talk college basketball any other time of the year. But we're here now. This is what matters. And college basketball is popular. You guys told me it's the third most popular sport in this area to college football and the NFL. Number 4 recruiting, 5 NBA, 6 MLB, 7 PGA Tour, 8 college baseball, 9 UFC, and 10 high school football. But I'll tell you, Kansas and Kansas State, since Frank Martin left Kansas State, I haven't been overly impressed with the Kansas State product, and there wouldn't be much that would get me to pay attention to Kansas State basketball until this happens.
And a block to finish. And DeSosa blocks it, and now the bench is empty. Just unnecessary.
Yep. That's not good.
This is a punt call. This is bad. No good. Oh, this is terrible.
There are going to be ramifications for this going forward.
And it's just no point to it. Yeah, that is not acceptable.
I would get my team to the locker room right now. There were definitely punches thrown.
Yeah.
These officials cannot leave the floor until they sort this out. And this could have ramifications going forward for both teams.
Yeah.
Michael Stathakis tweeted in that this shows, as Kansas's coach is named Bill Self, that this shows a real lack of self-control by the Kansas Jayhawk program. There's no doubt about that. we also have on record here the Clemson South Carolina brawl that took place, I believe, in 2004. Lonzo, what do you remember about that day? This was before my time in this area. I remember the brawl happening. I remember how upset Lou Holtz was because it was his last game. I misremembered something. I thought the punishment was they didn't play the next year, but they actually played the next year. They just didn't get to go to bowl games that year, right?
If I remember right, that was self-imposed as far as not going to bowl games, but it was 16 years ago. So, and yeah, I was here and I was doing a Gamecock show actually before that, and had to come back next week and talk about that. And there are differing, both sides are saying the other side started, and it was ridiculous. But, you know, it's a football fight. Unfortunately, it happens every once in a while. People took their helmets off, which is really dumb. And poor Lou Holtz out there in the middle of it trying to break it up, and he probably weighs like 90 pounds, and it was just ridiculous.
What started the fight?
I don't remember. Again, it was 16 years ago.
If you guys remember the Clemson, South
the
Carolina
Clemson
brawl.
The Clemson people will remember because they remember stupid stats and things like that.
Do they remember threatening to throw you out of the stadium? Over the stadium?
Oh, I'm sure these specific people who, it wasn't me, it was my little baby that they threatened to do that. I'm sure those specific people actually remember, yes.
If you remember the South Carolina Clemson brawl, what stood out to you the most about that particular day? 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number to join us. First of all, there's a number of jumping off points here. Myron Medcalf of before we get to that, the Clemson and South Carolina, that brawl that they had, we've put together a little in memoriam for you of that day.
Savelle Newton, big strike, incomplete.
Good idea.
Yep. And now we got some extracurricular activity out there.
This was bound to happen.
And now Lou Holtz scrambles out on the field. And now both benches start to empty.
You knew this was going to happen sooner or later.
Uh-oh, Justin Miller and Matthew Thomas are getting into it. And this is an ugly...
Who's the idiot that took his helmet off? I mean, this is ridiculous. And I applaud the way the refs allowed it to not fast foster. But right now, you got to get police control in this.
You've got to clench here.
Yeah. You got to get police control.
Yep. And now state police are out there on the field. Now there's more going on in the end zone. And now the state police have cordoned off the end zone trying to...
Well, they need mace. You got to get the sauce in.
But 32 out. South Carolina has just gone after Dwayne Coleman. After the cordon of police out there, that's Dacus Turman who's done nothing to
you. Don't go after Dwayne Coleman now. Highlights, if you will, from South Carolina.
It's time
Clemson.
To get the mace out. It's time to get the dude. I mean, come on. I mean, that's a little ridiculous.
Don't tase me, bro.
Yeah, this was way before that. And the announcer wanted him to get the mace out. I mean, he's like, come on.
Yeah, I don't know about that line. I don't know about that line. But for the most part, that audio sounded like it could have been yesterday. Right? It didn't, outside of the mace comment, it didn't sound like it was that old in any way, shape, or form. Again, a number of jumping off points here on last night's particular brawl, the start of which to me is end of game behavior. Now, Silvio D'Souza is the guy who was the instigator of this for Kansas. Kansas State was going in for a meaningless layup, only to Silvio, there is no such thing as meaningless. He's not going to give you a layup just because you're getting blown out in the game. So he swats Kansas State's layup into the rafters as time is expiring. The player falls to the ground, and then he stands over the player. Remember when Sean Kemp dunked on somebody and then pointed at him on the ground? They show that highlight over and over and over again. It was pretty much, it was very similar to that, and as you might imagine, Kansas State took exception to this. Some people are saying Silvio D'Souza had no business blocking the shot at the end of the game. Folks, I don't think I'm going to be the most popular person in the upstate today, but I'm not letting you score a layup. There's a message there. You know, Kevin Garnett was the most hated player in the NBA because when in dead ball situations or after a foul, people would take a warm-up shot and he would block the warm-up shot. He didn't want you to get into a rhythm. So even in a dead ball situation, he wouldn't let you get a shot on the rim and tick people off so much. Folks, in football, there, you know, when people go into the victory formation at the end of the game, if I'm down by single digits, if I'm down by 5 points or 6 points, I'm sorry. I'm telling my defensive line to play it like it's a regular play. I don't care if you're taking a knee. It's my job to try to figure out a way to win the game. We saw Greg Schiano get in trouble for this at the NFL level. Not in trouble by the league, but he pissed somebody off because the Jets were down by 3 points. The opposing team was going into a knee, and he instructed his team to rush the quarterback. Full on, bull rush, go for it. And the opposing team got pissed. I'm sorry. I'm not an unwritten rules guy. You want it to be a rule, you put it in the rule book. All right? You go into a knee, a victory formation, and I'm down by a touchdown or less. You better hold on to the football because guess what? That center's getting shoved right back into the quarterback as soon as the ball is snapped. And guess who's not going to call a penalty on that? The officials. Because they always say in boxing, protect yourself at all times, right? You're supposed to do the touch gloves, but that's an unwritten rule. If I don't want to touch your glove, if I want to punch you in the face instead, I'm allowed to do that when the round begins. So Lonzo, Silvio D'Souza blocks the shot at the end of the game. I got no problem with that end of game behavior. I've got no problem with rushing the quarterback when the other team's trying to take a knee. You should expect that the other team is going to play the full 60 minutes.
You know what drives me crazy? If you have played any organized sports at all, you're told to play to the whistle, to play until the official stops the play. I have no problem with them blocking it either. Hey, you're still playing, right? If you don't do that, then you're giving up, and you would be going against all your coaches. Every single coach is, if you don't play through the whistle in practice, you're running extra. You're doing all this stuff extra.
Why is it that in football people take exception to the offensive line getting knocked down when they try to go into the victory formation? That burns my brownies so badly that, you know, and my take is, screw you guys. We're playing till the end. I don't care that you're in the victory formation, man. I'm trying to get your quarterback to fumble the ball. And if you think we're just going to stand up when the ball is snapped and do nothing because that's the gentlemanly way to play the game, well, I'll expect your quarterback to fumble the ball then and we'll pick it up and return it for the game-winning touchdown.
Think about the victory formation. They're still protecting the quarterback. That means they expect someone to come across.
They do. They do. And when Greg Schiano did it at the NFL level, he got in a bunch of trouble. So Silvio D'Souza blocks the shot of Kansas State at the end of the game, and then he loses his mind. Silvio is like picking up chairs and looking like he's going to swing chairs at people. There are some incredibly telling shots from the game that show terrified fans because the fight is spilling over into the stands directly behind the basketball hoop. And it's a rough scene, and Silvio D'Souza rejected the shot, but I've got no problem with the way he rejected the shot. You don't stand over the guy after you reject the shot, and then who are you to be picking up chairs over your head? Lonzo, I don't watch WWE. You know, since I graduated junior high, I no longer watch that. But I felt like I was watching WWE with the folding chairs when this dude is picking up the chairs and swinging them.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That wasn't a chair. That was a stool.
Oh, it was a stool.
If I pick that stool up right there and hit you with it, that thing's going to hurt.
Damage.
Chairs have some give in them. They still sting. They still hurt. That thing, that could hurt you really bad. And he had a stool. So that was kind of crazy. And if you pick something up right away, that is intent to harm someone, and he should have been arrested.
The one thing I'll say about wrestlers, man, is while the outcome is scripted, the contact is real. You know, you can only make a table so fake. A lot of those folding chairs that they get hit with are real chairs. I think the contact is real. I think the abuse to the body is real. Let's get to Charles, who's up next on the show. Hey, Charles, thanks for the call, bud. I'm going to annoy Lonzo by saying to you, Happy New Year. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Happy New Year to you. I got a good memory of that Clemson Carolina game. Trying to leave, a lot of that was trickling into the stadium, as you would imagine. My son and I, who at the time was 15, ironically found ourselves in a and we're Clemson, by the way. found ourselves in a situation as we were leaving four, we'll just say, individuals approached us. You know, Carolina young men, if you will, at the time, and very angry, threatening, and me and my son were fixing to go down a bad road in a hurry. You know, he's 15, and it was a frightening experience. Two gentlemen turned the corner, and these two of the biggest men I have probably seen turned the corner. They were both Carolina Gamecock fellas, both of them. And they were both African American, which that's neither here nor there. I'm just telling you the story because the other hoodlums, as I'll call it, thugs, they were as well. But them two boys turned that corner and they got between my son, me, and those individuals.
And they broke it up.
And they said, no.
Okay.
And they said, no, no. This ain't happening. We're not good. Like this. This is a game. This is a game. We're not doing this. And made the comment, said, look, so this is a young man here. You know, he was 15 years old. He said, this is a young man. What are y'all doing? What are you trying to teach a young man about football? Are you serious? But I'm gonna tell you, it had me for a moment before they turned that corner. I was like, okay, here we go. And this ain't gonna be good.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know, but when them two boys turned that corner, I was never more proud or happy to see a Gamecock. Some Gamecock jerseys turned the corner.
Well, I'm glad you and your son are safe. And Charles, I appreciate you sharing your iteration of that story because those kinds of memories are etched with us for the rest of our lives. Lonzo, I was able to go to the 1986 NL Championship Series when I was 9 in Houston, Texas at the Astrodome. Houston versus the Mets. The Houston was down 3-2. Billy Hatcher, some in our audience will remember this, hit a home run to send the game to extra innings, but the Astros lost. I had never seen a fight in my life, and there was a fight right in front of us. You know, at 9 years old, I'd only seen Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant, and I thought that was real back in the day. You know, so I saw a fight right in front of us. It was the most traumatic experience of my life up to that point, and I'll never forget it. I will absolutely, positively never forget it. Okay, much more on this because it is the story that is rocking the college basketball world. Silvio D'Souza suspended indefinitely. Kansas lacks self-control. Do you see what Michael Stathakis did there? But coming up next, as it pertains to the Baseball Hall of Fame and as it pertains to you, what would get you fired immediately? We'll tackle that next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate. So Jeff Pantridge says on Twitter, he's been filling in and auditioning for the open midday show. He says, "Happy New Year, Mark. Good God, it's January 22nd. And I smell an either or coming up at 6 p.m. Happy New Year wishes until February 1st. Onsides or offsides coming your way at 6 p.m. this evening." You know, this is still an adjustment for us, Lonzo. We're, you know, used to be just the afternoons for us. Now we're afternoons to evenings, right? So it's cool kind of how that works out.
Drive time, yo.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, so yesterday, the Baseball Hall of Fame, congratulations are in order to Larry Walker and Derek Jeter. And I've got all sorts of complaints about this, though, man. I don't even know if I have full time in this segment to unpack everything that I want to get to here, because I'm all kinds of fired up about it. But, you got to get 75% of the vote to make it to the Hall of Fame. Derek Jeter got 99.7% of the vote. Larry Walker got 76.6% of the vote. And Curt Schilling missed it. It was his eighth year. He has 2 years left. Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds got barely more votes than they did a year ago. I think they were, let's see here. Roger Clemens last year.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here was at 59.5. This year he's at 61. Barry Bonds last year was at 59.1. This year he's at 60.7. And again, Larry Walker, 54.6% last year. This was his very last year on the ballot. Went from 54.6% to 76.6%. And I've got a problem with the entire deal. Lonzo, are you a big 50 Shades of Grey fan, the movie?
I have never seen 50 Shades of Grey.
That is so disappointing.
I have never read 50 Shades of Grey.
There's three great movies in sequence. It's you know, Bondage.
There's three of those, really?
Bondage and Dominatrix and Sexy Time. It's brilliant. I highly recommend it for your weekend viewing.
Which one do you prefer? Which movie?
I saw the first one. And listen, all I can tell you, Lonzo, if you watch that with the significant other, it doesn't take but 20 minutes in before you're making out. You can't even handle it. I'm just telling you. I'm just being real with you. You can't handle it. So, Lonzo, in any case, I highly recommend 50 Shades of Grey to you. I think it would be a welcome weekend edition. But Shades of Grey are good for so many areas of life, right? So many different areas of life. And I argue this all the time. You know, I can't stand black and white people. I can't stand black and white thinking. We need to be able to see shades of gray, good and bad people. Oh, well, we're all good. We're all bad. We all have good and bad sides. Find me one human that doesn't. Right? I believe each and every one of us is capable of killing someone. Don't believe me? Do something bad to my mom or my mom or my sister, and you'll be lucky if the law gets to you before I do. Okay? I believe each. It just takes something different for each of us to get to that breaking point. I firmly believe that. I always have. I always will. But one area where there should be no shades of gray is the Hall of Fame. You're either a Hall of Famer or you're not. Right? I mean, how are there shades of gray here? You know, it makes no sense to me when Larry Walker hasn't played in 13 years, okay? Hasn't played the game of baseball in 13 years, that in his last year on the ballot, Lonzo, how do 55% think he's a Hall of Famer in year 9? And suddenly without playing, 76%, oh, just gets enough votes and he's just over the line. 76% think he's a Hall of Famer in year 10 when he hasn't played. It you're either a Hall of Famer or you're not. Now, I think Larry Walker is a Hall of Famer. I've always thought he's a Hall of Famer. My criteria to make the Hall of Fame at one point for a 5-year period, you're one of the top 5 players at your position. Craig Biggio was my favorite player as a kid growing up. Not a Hall of Famer. It shouldn't be a lifetime achievement award. Dude hit 283 for his career. Bunch of hits, but was very, very rarely great. Right? Was good for a lot of years, great for very few. Don Mattingly, to me, is a Hall of Famer. Larry Walker, to me, is a Hall of Famer. But does it strike anyone else funny that, you know, through 9 years on the ballot, the most he gets is 55%, and then the last year, okay, it's his last year, let's pat him on the back. If I'm Larry Walker, I've got a figurative bird in my back pocket for these guys. You know, I mean, what you've just been making me suffer for 10 years, keeping me on the ballot and not putting me in. Lonzo, it makes no sense to me, man.
You know, I get the honor of being in the Hall of Fame. I do. But I think if I were an ex-player and I made it to like year six and I wasn't in yet, I wouldn't care anymore. And if they gave it to me at 10, I would just be like, yeah, okay, whatever. Because if you're not good enough to go in the first couple years, then that means you're not the top of your sport and you probably shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
So basically the Hall of Fame and the voters, they do this stupid tiered system, right? So it's like the voters, based on the level of Hall of Famer they perceive you to be, you might get in year one. Oh, you're a first ballot Hall of Famer, right? You've heard that term. Oh, yeah, maybe you're a sixth ballot Hall of Famer. In Larry Walker's case, maybe you hope and pray for your last year to be a last year Hall of Famer. Or maybe we just need another guy so Derek Jeter's not the only one this year. Maybe that's the case. The entire thing ticks me off because you're either a Hall of Famer or you're not. There should be no distinction between a first-year first-ballot Hall of Famer and an eighth-ballot Hall of Famer, and I don't understand how you suddenly accrue more support when you haven't played in over a decade. Can somebody explain this to me? Like, I don't get it. I just don't get it at all. And baseball continues to do this nonsense, right? There should be no shades of gray as it pertains to Major League Baseball. It doesn't make any sense. You're a Hall of Famer or you're not. Poor Larry Walker. You know, he's had to feel like he's with the girl the last 10 years that's interested in him 1 minute and no interest in him the next. And he's been yo-yoed around, roller coastered around for 10 years to the point where, like Lonzo just said, I wouldn't be surprised if he's like, the hell with you guys. Like Terrell Owens, the hell with you guys. I'm going to do my own Hall of Fame ceremony somewhere else. All right? Coming up next on the show, in my opinion, one of the most intriguing Super Bowl storylines. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan. It's right here on ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you. A reminder, you can tweet the show. You can text the show. All tweets to the show, the policy being if you are following us, we'll get to them live and on the air. How cool is that? You can just fire a tweet if you're following us, at Lonzo on Word, at Mark Ryan on Air, at ESPN Upstate. We'll get to your tweets live on the show. The same goes for the text line, where you text into 71307. You put the word ESPN in the body of your text, and then you rock that sexy body. You just text us all the way, 50 Shades of Grey style, and we get to your texts live and on the air. Texter says, the brawl of the day, Clemson kicked SC's ass twice. Is that how you perceive that brawl, Lonzo?
Sure. If that's what you... it was 16 years ago. I have a slight memory of it. You know, life goes on after that.
Did Savelle Newton start it?
I watched the video. I didn't see him start it when I recorded it, but
Savelle and I follow each other on social media, and he's a character. I've been meaning to have him on the show. He's a fun dude, man. He's got some opinions. I love guys like that. Mark, you need to tell whoever does the Don Munson Founders update in the morning to change the promo, because they keep saying congrats to the Tigers on the national championship. Hey, listen, denial is not just a river in Egypt, ladies and gentlemen. It's not. I do want to pass that on. Mark, that Baseball Hall of Fame is a joke. Yeah, it seems that way. It seems like it's really haughty, really snooty, really stuck up with all these stupid rules.
And 25 names and two guys get in. I mean,
25 names, two guys get in. Two guys are deserving of it. Let's look at some other stats here, shall we? I actually thought Alfonso Soriano was really good, got 1.5% of the vote. Jason Giambi was really good, right? Probably your feelings about baseball, Lonzo, your knowledge of baseball is similar to my knowledge of hockey. In other words, if I've heard of the guy, he was probably really good.
Well, I've heard of those two guys.
Alfonso Soriano.
That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah,
they're probably pretty good.
Okay, Andy Pettit, really good, 11% of the vote. Sammy Sosa, steroids, 14%. Andrew Drones, great center fielder for the Braves.
For the Braves, yeah.
14% of the vote. 19% of the vote. African-American Andrew Jones, by the way, Lonzo. Freddie Freeman, Caucasian first baseman.
Two totally different things. I know Andrew Jones, and he spells Andrew differently.
Yeah, he does. A-N-D-R-U-W. Jeff Kent, 27.5% of the vote. Manny Ramirez. How is – you know, look, if Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are Hall of Famers, Manny Ramirez is a Hall of Famer, right? He's only got 28% of the vote. Todd Helton, 29%, was fantastic. Gary Sheffield, he's linked to steroids as well, 30.5% of the vote. Billy Wagner, 31.7. Scott Rowland, 35.3. Omar Vizquel, the shortstop, 53. Barry Bonds, 61. Roger Clemens, 61. Curt Schilling, 70. Just missing it. Two more years left for Curt. I think Curt ultimately gets in. I have no idea about Roger Clemens or Barry Bonds, and I think that story is fascinating moving forward. I really do. Look, the Super Bowl, I think, is going to be freaking fantastic. And we have something in the works here at ESPN Upstate. Going to be excited to talk to you about that very, very soon for the Super Bowl this year. Very excited about it. But Lonzo's excited for a very different reason. Lonzo remembers back to the day 50 years ago when Kansas City was last in the Super Bowl. Did they win that Super Bowl, Lonzo?
They won, yeah.
Can you break down Kansas City's defense in that game?
See, this works on people a little bit older than me, but I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah, you were alive.
I was two.
Right? Okay. Okay, so they didn't win that. They won that game.
Yeah.
They won the Super Bowl.
They won Super Bowl IV, I believe.
I think there's a lot of really neat storylines here, and that is that, you know, for one, Andy Reid is the Dan Marino of football. In what sense? If I told you, Lonzo, that Andy Reid is the Dan Marino and Charles Barkley of football, what does that mean to you?
He's never won a championship.
Never won a championship. But that would also mean that he is the blank that's never won a championship.
He's we were talking about Hall of Fame. He's definitely a future Hall of Famer. He's the best at what he does to never win something.
Exactly. As a head coach, he is the Dan Marino, the Charles Barkley the Karl Malone, the John Stockton of coaches who have never won a Super Bowl. And the thing is, Lonzo, I actually truly believe that he needs this. I believe that. I believe he's got a great chance at getting another one. I believe he could decide to coach Pat Mahomes for the next 10 years, and that Pat Mahomes would be delighted if he did just that. But I firmly believe, you know, when you rank best coaches ever, Andy Reid's name never comes up. Andy Reid is the cute little story. Andy Reid is the little engine that could. Andy Reid is the guy, oh yeah, he's a bright guy, isn't he? He had some good teams back in the day. But he has been always the bridesmaid, never the bride, left at the ball, turned into a pumpkin. That's been Andy Reid for the duration of his career. And I hate it for him because I do think the guy's brilliant. You heard me this week go on a rant about the need to go with young blood. You know, I'm very much anti-retread. I'm anti-retread for our open midday show host position. I'm anti-retread if you have a head coaching opening. I'm not a fan of the retread. I'm not. I like new, fresh blood. You look at three of the coaches in the conference championship games. Kyle Shanahan, age 40. Matt LaFleur, age 40. By the way, now related to me with a mustache. Mike Vrabel, age 44.
Also has a mustache.
All new, all fresh, all young blood. And then you have Andy Reid. So why does Andy Reid work? Because Andy Reid could never be considered a retread because the dude reinvents himself every few years. What do you think my plan is? You know, I would love to finish my career with this job, Lonzo. I would love for this station to be cranking it out when I'm 75 years old.
How long did you plan for your career to go? Just curious.
I would love to be cranking out shows at the age of 75 right here as the voice of the entire upstate by that point. But in order to do that, I can't become the old guy on the radio. And the way our industry is going, you've got to deliver great content as often as possible through as many mediums as possible. That's why we put out the segment of the day each and every day. That's why I'm talking to Lonzo, trying to get Facebook Live going for the show, because it's incumbent upon us to reach people who are consuming media in many different ways as often as we can through as many resources as we possibly can. That's how we stay relevant in the changing media landscape today, right? And Andy Reid has done all of those things as a football coach. He's adopted new play calling. You see the offense. You never know where the ball is. You know, how do you defend as a defense Tyreek Hill coming in motion potentially to take a reverse sweep? You know, with the fastest guy in the league, you got to send two or three guys to that side, and then you run a play to the opposite side. How do you defend that if you're an NFL team? Because if he does give the ball to Tyreek Hill and you haven't hedged to that side, the Chiefs have a touchdown.
Well, hopefully they don't defend it, but that's just my opinion.
Oh, they don't shift to that side. But here's the thing. Andy Reid needs this, and he needs this badly. He needs this badly. I do believe, you know, Lonzo, he could claim the silver medal of head coaches for his era. Realize that. I mean, that is open for the taking, right? You've had coaches that have won here and there, but nobody consistently outside of Bill Belichick. And you look at Andy Reid's numbers, he wins wherever he goes. But we don't put him in that category because it don't mean a thing if you don't got that bling. I was arguing with somebody recently that the Buffalo Bills did nothing. The Buffalo Bills accomplished nothing because they didn't win a ring. You know, who cares if you get blown out in the Super Bowl four times? You didn't win a ring ever. You had to win one of those. Andy Reid has got to figure out a way to do it. And this, ladies and gentlemen, I think is the best chance that he has ever had. Coming up next, don't upset primetime because you won't like him when he's angry. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you guys on a hump day edition of the show. So check this out. And a check on our text line. I can't wait until the guy's name gets out that didn't vote for Jeter, needs his brain examined. That is the next layer of our Hall of Fame conversation that is coming up at 5:20 this afternoon. Josh Pate joining us at 5:40. Christy Dosh with an article of, you know, how the players are going to be able to profit on their name and likeness moving forward. She says that's going to open a whole new unpleasant can of worms for Title IX in college athletics, and she'll join us at 6:20. You do not want to miss that interview with Christy coming up in the 6 p.m. hour of the show. So, you know, don't make Deion Sanders angry, because you are not going to like Deion Sanders if he's angry. And the sports media entity, Go Gamecocks, said that Shiloh Sanders will not take a shot at playing baseball this year, focused on football, but has some talent. And the problem is that upset Daddy, okay? And you don't want to upset Daddy. Daddy is one of the best things that, let's be honest, folks, Daddy's one of the best things that South Carolina has going for it right now. Daddy is helping to make the Gamecocks cool, right? Because primetime, anything that guy touches is cool. He was the coolest player when I was in college. Freshman year, sophomore year of college, I used to be a nerd. I know that's shocking to you, Alonzo, that I've graduated from nerddom. I am no longer in that class of person.
You keep telling yourself that.
I do. Self-affirmations. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And doggone it, people like me. My name is Mark Smalley, and you're listening to Offsides. So I would cut out. I get Sports Illustrated's, and I would cut out any picture of Deion Sanders and tape it on my wall. You know, and that's what I thought of him. I wore a bandana in intramurals, Lonzo, just because of Deion Sanders. And whenever we were getting our asses kicked, my friends would say to me, take that damn bandana off right now. All right. But it was an homage to Deion Sanders, right? So Deion Sanders says the below states that Shiloh Sanders decided to focus on football. He's been working tirelessly to get ready for his baseball tryout that only consisted of about 30 swings in the cage, of which I have all the footage. If you're going to kill a kid's dream, please don't say it was suicide. So we've got Gamecock media entities. And to be fair, Go Gamecocks is not directly affiliated with USC, University of South Carolina, not directly affiliated. But Deion Sanders doesn't like the reports in any case. Won't take a shot at playing baseball this year. Primetime says that's news to him. Media entities in the Columbia, South Carolina area, or anywhere in South Carolina, you might want to run these things by Deion first. You might want to do that, because if Papa's not happy, nobody's happy, and Will Muschamp and that entire athletic program so desperately needs the vocal advocation of Deion Sanders right now. I mean, Lonzo, am I wrong for believing that that's one of the best things South Carolina has going at present, is the fact that you've got a guy who's got the respect of all the entirety of the NFL, you know, players thinking about playing at the next level, best cornerback who ever played, very entertaining both as a player and as a broadcaster. You've got the dad on board with your football program, man. You need to nurture that relationship.
Absolutely. If you do otherwise, you're making a mistake for the program.
All right, here's your chance at some free money.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.